This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, January 17th show. It's a great day to talk about money, and that's why I'm here with you. Everything money, everything that's happening in our economy, how to make a better life for you and your family, understanding how money works will be a head start. And if you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, and you can talk with myself or the guests that I have in studio, pick up the phone, give the show a call, 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50, or online at themoneyhour.com. And my next guest in studio, Cher Bowman Klug with Keller Williams Bellevue. It's all about the skill of negotiation, how important in today's real estate market, and it is everything. Cher, thank you so much. First time having you in studio. Very excited to talk with you.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Lots of exciting thing going on in the real estate market, and I talked a little bit in Money Chat about the cost of money, and I think people get so used to what's happening right now with interest rates and think it's going to be here to stay, and it's not. You really want to take advantage of this, because what we're seeing now is you still have an opportunity to get a good price on a home, but then you add into it the cost of money being so low, it's just a huge difference in your buying power.
Exactly.
And a little bit about Cher. Cher is a proud owner of the Klug Real Estate Group and hangs her professional license with Keller Williams Realty Bellevue. She has been a licensed real estate broker for 10 years and works with clients in the greater Seattle area and East Side. Her professional background includes administration, marketing, business development, and finance, spanning more than 20 years of service. Throughout her career, she has worked in fast-paced and demanding environments, dealt with time-sensitive and high-profile projects, and always performed with the highest level of professionalism, integrity, and attention to detail. She uses these experiences and skills to set to ensure a smoother real estate transaction from start to finish. And really, that's what it takes, Cher, to be a successful real estate agent. When I say successful, not only successful in your business, which you are, but successful in taking care of your clients and making sure that they have a good experience. There's so much that I think people don't understand that happens in the real estate process. So it's important to definitely have a winner on your side. And we're going to talk about winning. We're going to talk about writing a winning offer in a bidding war, which is what we're in right now. So are buyers still dealing with the bidding wars in the current market?
Well, you know, Tina, we did see a slight market slowdown during the fourth quarter, as compared to the buying frenzy of the spring of last year. But nevertheless, many buyers are still dealing with multiple offers, and here's why. A recent Northwest Multiple Listing Service report indicated there were over 17,000 single-family homes and condos available for sale at the end of December.
Okay.
Which most of us sounds like there's plenty of homes to choose from. But that's actually down 8.1% from the inventory just 1 year prior. Now, 6 months of inventory is typically considered a healthy balance between supply and demand. However, the MLS figures only show about 2.8 months of inventory system-wide.
Okay.
With King County showing the tightest inventory of only 1.4 months of supply.
Wow.
So when there's very little inventory on the market, it's not unusual for a seller to see five or more offers, sometimes 10 or more.
Yeah. And you agree with the interest rates. You've got that added into the mix as well. It's just it's so inexpensive to purchase, just that supply and demand.
Exactly.
So I understand that the industry experts anticipate more sellers, such as the baby boomers, and to list their homes in spring, and that the builders are adding to inventory as well. So given those predicaments, do you think that multiple offers will remain a concern for our buyers?
Well, you know, I'm really excited that the inventory levels are expected to climb. However, real estate industry experts are also anticipating that home prices, interest rates, and rents will continue to rise. So many buyers that have been sitting on the sidelines for some time are now ready to jump into the game. And we can also expect a surge of millennial buyers, which are those 35 years and younger. And plus, as you know, Tina, as you mentioned earlier, the 3% down payment loans are finally back for qualified buyers, which will allow for more first-time buyers to experience home ownership. So although we're heading towards a more balanced market, competition among buyers is going to remain strong until inventory levels do rise.
Mm-hmm.
So given this anticipated surge in buyers and the recent inventory stats that I just shared, I believe we'll continue to see multiple offers into the first half of this year, just maybe not at the same level of intensity and as we did experience last year.
Yeah, which would be good. I get a little bit of a break for, I think a lot of buyers, what happened is they, you know, they got frustrated, and I think people missed out on the opportunity because they gave up. So I was saying so many times, just don't give up. It's a part-time job. Stay with it. You'll get your house. But so let's talk about in the competitive market, how are you helping your buyers prepare to be able to beat out their competition?
Well, there's actually a few ways for you to write that winning offer.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would like is for your listeners to keep in mind that individual buyer needs and financial situations are going to differ. So not all of these tips that I'm going to share are going to be applicable or should be utilized in conjunction with one another.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I'll start with five tips that they could use.
Okay.
One of the first things that I really emphasize with my clients is to remember, first in may win. In other words, don't hesitate. So if you see a great home at a good price, mm-hmm. don't assume that you'll have time to mull it over. Just get your offer in right away. If you're the first offer in and other similar offers follow, you might just win based on your assertiveness and timeliness. Sellers really do appreciate buyers that are decisive.
Yep.
It gives them the impression that you're going to be serious and you're not going to be dragging your feet during the transaction. Second, write your best offer. Don't hope for negotiation. You may only get one chance to make an impression on a seller, so you don't want to make a lowball offer in hopes that they're going to counter. If a seller receives multiple offers, oftentimes the low offers are just tossed aside. So you could ask your real estate broker for a comparative market analysis to help you determine the pricing, then decide on the top dollar that you're willing to pay for that home, and then offer that price. You also might consider including an escalation clause in your offer. But, you know, keep in mind, too, that sometimes sellers deliberately set the price below the comps
mm-hmm.
in an effort to generate multiple offers. So paying a little extra doesn't necessarily mean you're paying over market value. And then the third tip, cash talks. If you're able to pay all cash for a home, just say so in your offer. Although it's always all cash in the end for the seller, a transaction that's not depending on a loan approval
mm-hmm.
can actually be more attractive to the seller. But when you do submit an all cash offer, you need to include your proof of funds.
So let's talk about that. Not everybody in a position to submit a cash offer, and whether even if they are, whether it makes sense because the cost of money is so inexpensive. So why not take advantage of that and get a loan? If a buyer is getting financing for their new home, what should they be doing in planning and for that in competing with these cash buyers?
That leads to my fourth tip, Tina.
Okay.
Definitely, if cash is not an option for you,
uh-huh.
then you'll want to include a lender's letter, a pre-approval letter from your lender that says that you have had your credit examined and you can afford to buy the home. It tells a seller that you're a serious and qualified buyer and that you've already committed to a lender. So if the seller has a higher offer from a buyer without a pre-approval letter, your offer will likely win.
Uh-huh. And I think it's important, too, on that share, would you agree that make sure that your lender is actually calling the listing agent and confirming that they're working with a strong buyer, they're excited about purchasing the house? Do you find that that's helping as well?
Definitely.
Making
definitely
that personal call?
To have that extra support from your lender to emphasize that you do have a strong loan.
Yes. And looking at the pre-approval letter, as Shara saying, it, you know, making sure that you have that lined up, that you've got the correct verbiage in there, that employment's been verified, credit's been pulled. I always say you should have a closing guarantee, and that should be right in the pre-approval letter that your lender backs their work. So lots of information that you should have there. So in a seller's market, understanding buyers waiving contingencies, and there's a lot of them, and you mentioned it at the beginning of our segment. What are some of those contingencies, standard contingencies that you would have to protect earnest money that you're seeing buyers waiving to be more competitive and to win in a competitive market?
You know, this is true. I guess you could say the saying is money talks,
mm-hmm.
but in real estate, so do contingencies, especially for the sellers. Therefore, some buyers are waiving contingencies such as their loans,
uh-huh.
the appraisal contingencies, or even inspection contingencies. If you've spoken to your legal advisor and you feel comfortable risking your earnest deposit, you might want to consider that. If your loan is solid, you could waive the loan approval contingency. And you could also talk to your real estate broker about comparable sales to see if you may want to waive your appraisal contingency. There are some risks, however. If you waive an appraisal contingency and your home appraises below your sales price, you'll need to make up that difference in cash. So make sure you have that extra money available to you. But without some contingencies, your offer will be a little bit more solid than your competitors.
Yeah. And, you know, on the appraisal, I don't think a lot of people know on HUD financing for FHA, even if they waive their appraisal on for an FHA HUD financing in court, the buyer would win because HUD has a requirement that they can't do that. I also just saw something creative, Cher, on appraisals that I've never seen before, where someone actually went in and they made an offer on a property for a lower amount, but said that they'd be willing to pay the higher amount if the appraisal value came in. Have you seen that happen? First time ever in my 20 years career. $440,000, 40-something. The house was listed at $460,000, which was over market for whatever reason. There hasn't been offers that have been made on this home. They went in and made an offer at $440,000 with a contingency that if the appraisal came in at $450,000, they would pay $450,000. And they would actually go up to a maximum of $455,000, not the $460,000. I mean, there's all this crazy stuff that's going on in, you know, with the appraisals.
You know, I actually have not seen that. That's very
Never
clever.
Seen it.
That's very creative. That is another way to get around it and yes. to make your offer stand out and give the seller some peace of mind, too.
Exactly. So what about inspection? Cher, what are your thoughts with waiving inspection? Because it seems like that could be a risky thing. So how are you advising your clients around that?
You know, of course, it's ultimately the buyer's decision, but I always encourage my clients to get a professional home inspection, even in a competitive market. It's just like buying a car. You'll want to check under the hood and know exactly what you're buying and determine what your additional costs might be, either immediately or possibly down the line. So an alternative to waiving the inspection, though, is to tighten the time period. Many standard real estate purchase contracts in the state of Washington give the buyer 10 days to perform an inspection. So try shortening the time period to, say, 3 to 5 days instead. That might be more appealing to the seller. Another method that's prevalent in the current market is a buyer pre-inspection. A pre-inspection is a home inspection that's done on the property before an offer is submitted. So you still need the written permission from the seller to get one done, but it's just like a regular home inspection, just completed prior to the contract ratification.
So, Cher, on a pre-inspection to where they're going in and they're paying for an inspection prior to knowing if they're going to get the offer accepted versus the traditional old-fashioned, you get the inspection once you know your offer is accepted. What are the advantages and disadvantages to pre-inspection?
Well, just like you said, that is one of the disadvantages to a pre-inspection. You're basically, you're spending the money up front before you even have a guarantee that you're the winning offer. And depending on the size of the home, that can run you anywhere from $400 or more just for an inspection. Another disadvantage is, you know, you could be, while you're in process of scheduling or even completing the home inspection, the seller may receive other offers and accept one before you even get a chance to submit yours. The advantages, though, is that you'll find out the condition of the property ahead of time, meaning you can factor in repair costs into your offer price. Or you may end up finding that there are some deal breakers and decide not even to put your hat in the ring. So additionally, you're writing a non-contingent offer, and that will absolutely make your offer more attractive to a seller and less risky for them.
Yeah, you know, and I've never thought of that with the benefit on the pre-inspection side that you're finding out if there's big issues, which is going to change how you're going to make that offer on the property. Interesting. So you'd mentioned escalation clause earlier in the segment. Can you explain to my listeners what that is and how that works?
You bet, Tina. An escalation clause is another great way to create a winning offer. The general escalation addendum has a few basic components, and there's three that you want to keep in mind. First, what's the original offer of the purchase price? Second, how much will the price be escalated above any competing bid? And third, what's the maximum amount that the purchase price can reach if there are multiple offers? So I'll give you an example. Let's say the first buyer, Buyer Green, offers $100,000 for a home.
Okay.
Her realtor adds an escalation clause that will increase Green's offer in increments of $2,000 above a competing offer. Her escalation clause goes up to a max of $110,000. So if no other offers are submitted, Green's offer remains at $100,000. But if buyer Yellow, a second buyer, offers the seller $103,000, then Green's offer would automatically escalate $2,000 above that, bringing Green's offer to $105,000. If, however, a third buyer comes in, let's call her Buyer Red, she offers $111,000 for the home, then Green's maximum of $110,000 will be surpassed, and Red will have the winning offer.
And what a great way to get in a multiple offer scenario and to really be able to offer a good price but not miss out on the opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But there, you know, there are risks involved with doing an escalation clause. You're basically, you know, laying all your cards on the table.
Of course.
The seller will know immediately just how far the buyer is willing to go to secure the home.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Whatever type of market that we're in is totally different. And, you know, when there's no offers on the table, you can play whatever game you want to and go back and forth. But
exactly.
in this environment, there's no time. So you've given some amazing tips for my listeners, Cher, on how to win in a multiple offer situation. I so much appreciate it. Is there any other smaller tips that you have that maybe don't have as much risk attached to them?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I know the other ones can be a little bit daunting. Mm-hmm. First, write a friendly offer. Don't include any demands in your offer that would likely irritate the seller.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you walk into a home and you feel the interior is just not the color you'd like and it seems a little distasteful in your personal opinion, don't ask the seller to have it repainted at their cost. And also, if a buyer typically would request possession of the property at 9 p.m. on day of closing, you could cut the sellers some slack and give them maybe 2 or 3 days to move out after closing without expecting compensation. Mm-hmm. And that would certainly set your offer apart from the others. And second, maybe think about writing a seller letter. If the seller has 6 offers on the table, but yours includes a handwritten letter, mm-hmm. Your offer will definitely stand out. If you just explain to the seller what you love about the home, list all the reasons why your offer should win. For example, you could highlight the length of employment, the fact that you're putting down a large earnest money deposit, emphasize the strength of your loan. Also, tugging at the seller's heartstrings could help to create emotional connection. That's definitely helpful, too. Just be careful, though, not to mention your familial status or the fact that the property is located near your favorite church, because in doing so, you could put the seller in danger of violating Fair Housing Act.
Sure. And what about allowing them to leave their stuff behind, leave all your garbage or things that you don't want. Don't worry about cleaning up the house.
Yeah,
it's
we'll
okay.
Take care of it.
You know, those little extra things to stand out in your offer. So we're getting towards the end of the segment, Cher. But those were just such awesome tips for my listeners. Could you recap again in what they can do to win in a multiple offer, win that bidding war?
Oh, definitely. There's quite a few things actually. Remember, first in may win. Just
uh-huh.
get your offer in. Don't hesitate. Write your best offer. Don't lowball them. If you are not able to pay cash, please include a pre-approval letter mm-hmm. with your offer. Put down a healthy earnest deposit. You know, not just $500 offer or earnest deposit on your offer. Include the $5,000, $10,000, or even $15,000 earnest deposit. That mm-hmm. says you're definitely serious. Waive some of your contingencies that we talked about. Consider alternatives to waiving the home inspection, like tightening the time period or doing a pre-inspection. An escalation clause is definitely going to help you. Writing the friendly offer in a seller letter. And last but not least, maybe offer to close quickly.
That's a really, really great suggestion. And, you know, in closing quickly, make sure that you have your team in line. Go with mm-hmm. usually your realtor is the one that you're first talking with. And they've got a team that they've established and put together over your years in the industry. Take their advice and who they're working with, because you want to make sure that you can get those quick closings. You can get them done in time. Make sure, again, that you've got a guarantee on that. And just as Cher says, show that you're a serious buyer. This is not a time to be playing games with the seller. To lose something over, you know, $500,000, a couple thousand dollars, it may seem like a lot of money, but a lot of money is missing out on the opportunity that you have right now, especially, again, where the interest rates are at. So if there's any questions, pick up the phone, give the show a call, 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150. Always, you can go back to themoneyhour.com and listen to any of the podcast if you want to listen again to Cher's tips on being successful in this real estate environment and the market that we're in today. Cher, thank you so much for coming into studio. Excited to have you back in again.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed being here.
And that is the show. This is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Thank you for being here with me. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I will be here next Saturday, same time, right here on 1150 AM KKNW.